Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast was recorded in Brisbane, Australia, the land of the Turrbal, Yagara, and Yugarrbal people, and we acknowledge all elders past, present, and emerging.
Hello, everyone. It's Matt Young, and this is Chunder Chat with Vanessa Joy Bristow. So I'm going to bring Vanessa on. We're going to have a bit of a chat about the story that she told on The Story Chunder and just a bit more about her so you get to know her better. Hey, how are ya?
Hi. Aloha. Kia ora.
Aloha.
G'day.
Kia ora.
How are you?
G'day. Yeah, I'm great. How are you going?
I am okay. I love the fact that I don't actually have a fully full-time job, that I can do these beautiful chats with you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Yeah, I'm in the same place. I'm a professor, so I've made a little bit of money this week, but most of the time I'm just sitting around not spending money.
It's a good thing.
Exactly, exactly. So this is our Chunder Chat, which is an opportunity for me to get to know you a little bit better. And of course, this becomes a podcast and we share the story that you told on The Story Chunder at the end of the episode. But for those of you, now you were on the Insta Live on the 25th of May, which wasn't that long
right
ago,
in the middle of the old ISO, right? It was ISO.
I was going to say, it wasn't that long ago, but it seems like it's been like the longest of our
lives.
Right? It's insane.
Yeah.
But anywho, and we talked about, so that was the someone else's, was that our
thing? Yeah. About the history.
Right. That's right. Because you told a family. But let's, before we get to that, who are you? Where do you come from?
Oh, gosh. So, I don't know. I really hate being asked questions about me. Hold on. Oh, no. Here we go. I have an answer. So, Vanessa Joy Bristow, I returned to Brisbane after being away for many, many, many years in 2015. I started working in the medical field and then I went to be a flight attendant, but I have also been my whole life a performer, a singer, dancer, actress. They call it a triple threat, but when I think about singing, yeah, I can hum a good tune. I don't know. I can definitely dance. I can definitely act, but singing has always been something that I want and strive to be good at. I've spent my youth in Brisbane. I love this place. Went to Kenmore High, and then I went to Melbourne and studied dance with the Tony Bartuccio. So if you're really old, you remember Tony Bartuccio. Yeah, right. I then went on to Pineapple Studios in London, and then I was a dancer for Radio 1 in England. And then, yeah, I've just been bouncing back and forth over many years with Sydney, Melbourne, America, to the point where I went to Colorado and I was in, oh, look, something I prepared earlier. I did a little bit of cabaret and theatre in Colorado. I did some training in New York for a bit. And, I came home. And basically home to me is being near my mum, being near my sister, being near my gorgeous nephew and my wonderful stepbrother, and just being at home so I can focus on the stuff that I love. And the stuff that I love is obviously this, talking with you, being creative, and also helping others.
Yeah, and you're an actor as well as, you know, a dancer your whole life. And so just to, you know, for, I didn't read your bio, so are there any things you want to tell us really about you professionally?
About me?
Highlights? Yep.
Highlights. I suppose I'll stick to recent highlights because, you know, that I've got a huge history. That's recent highlights. Oh, cool. I was the lead actress in Blackwater, by Creative Films, which came out last year. I'm currently in two productions coming out this year, Western Culture and Jiva by Peter Kaveri, GP2 Productions. Most recently in the past 10 years, I've been on Rake, ABC Rake. I played a stripper. I've been on Underbelly. I played a prostitute. And then in Bikey Wars, I played a bartender who was a little bit slutty. So there seems to be a little bit of a theme, but
I think that's okay. All of that footage, actually, I think it's on your show, Real, or I don't know much about you.
It is.
It is like really pervy, mm-hmm. not pervy. Sorry.
You big perv.
Yeah, no,
it's fine. I mean, you go through a stage. You go through a stage when you were very much pigeonholed. And for those years, I was a sexual character, but now I seem to be getting roles like the newsreader or the mum or, you know, somebody just a little bit older. And it's fine because I am older and I've got a lot more than I can give. So this is a really interesting time.
Yeah, I think for me as well. I mean, I think it's we've both been dancers, and definitely, I mean, you know, like the physicality that we bring as dancers, and this translates onto the screen as well. Often does sort of like you know, or in the past, lent us towards certain characters. So I mean, I love working coach. I really do. You know, like I love being anyway, and the acting coach that I work with is very physical. We do a lot of sort of Susan Batson, sort of like dancing around and finding the primal self and all that sort of stuff. And I just absolutely adore the physicality. And I mean, yeah, and I think it's interesting. Yeah, it's interesting now that sort of I'm transitioning into this older character actor. But
it's
I
fun,
don't
isn't it? It's really weird.
Me. Although. Yeah, I was in rehearsal the other day, and I was with do something that was quite physical. You know, it was a bit of a fight scene sort of thing. Well, not really. It was a sex scene, but anyway, doesn't matter. a little bit of both, and I was so sore. I was like, just getting like from the ground and sitting on the ground again. I was like, I'm getting older. But it's nice because I don't have to be kicking my leg in the air like I can sit.
Well, you know. Clap instead of kick. Well done.
Exactly. Cool. And you were in Steamboat Springs.
Yeah. Steamboat Springs in Colorado. It was a beautiful time. It was a really interesting time for me as a person. And it wasn't very good. Personally, I disappointed my brother and had a few emotional issues. I think it was my midlife crisis. I think I had it there. Met some incredibly creative, beautiful people who found a way to find me and make me better. It's weird. It's a bit of a catharsis that happened to me when I was there.
Do you believe in Saturn returns? Like, is Uranus back to being part of your Saturn returns, your 7-year cycle of movement?
100%. I was meant to come back here, and for years I've been saying, no, I don't want to go to Brisbane. But I got back here and I fell into a rhythm and I fell into being with friends and I fell back into relationships that I had from high school. And it was like, oh, this is weird. This is cool. This is weird. This is cool. I'm just going to go with it. It's where I'm meant to be. I know it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm very happy to be. I was overseas. I was in And, you know, and during this whole COVID crisis, it's very difficult because, like, my husband, my sons, and we haven't seen, like, February or March. And it doesn't look like we'll see each other until possibly next year, depending on, like, there's no flights to countries right now. But I'm really in being in Brisbane. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's a good place for me to have landed. Obviously, ideally, we'd all be here. But at the moment... And, you know, it's interesting how this whole global pandemic has put things into perspective. And you sort of look around and you sort of go, I mean, we live on the river in Indooroopilly. You know, there's something artistically that are happening around Brisbane. You know, we're doing the Story Chunder, you know, getting to meet new people like yourself, you know. So it's been, I think it's a good place to be right now.
And safest, considering what's happening in Melbourne right now. And I was listening to the Prime Minister and he said, I've never been a big ScoMo supporter, especially considering he cut the funding for the arts, and I kind of like about it. But he said something today that just made me feel so connected. He goes, Australia is going really well. We're all in this together, and we need to support Melbourne right now and what's going on in Victoria, because we need to get through this. He goes, come on, let's be like Queensland. And I'm like, yeah, mate, canoe, let's be like Queensland. I'm so proud to say that that is where or what I am part of.
Yeah, yeah, amazing. Awesome. Now, speaking of journey being overseas anyway, you told a very interesting story when you were on the Story Tender, which is about your family history. Do you want to just give us like a brief recall of that? Because again, I'll play it at you in full.
I talked about my great-great-great-grandmother who came over on the boats to come to Rotorua to work on her health. She had rheumatic issues and fever, and she relied on a wheelchair and a frame for many, many years. She just wasn't healthy. And she actually came to Rotorua in New Zealand, and after spending many months there, she was healed. I believe that the natural earth, the salts of the earth, I completely agree with that. And she was healed. She never saw a doctor again. But on her trip, she met and fell in with the ship's I think it was the engineer. He was my great, great, great granddad. It turns out that that party fabricated, because she came out with her nurse and they came out onto, this is what I found out recently. I've had family members contact me and say, this may or may not be true. And I'm like, what, what? So she went out onto the docks in New Zealand. In the docks, they used to have people like putting up signs going, nurse, teacher, this, that, offering jobs, and they offered a job and she took it. So I don't know. I'm going to go with she fell in love with him on the ship over than the fact that she took a job. I've got 50-50 on both sides. But what I have had, and I know it's, I sent it to you, but we had a picture of her passport photo. I haven't been given permission to show that to the world, but I look at that photo and I see every single Bristow woman in my family. I see the nose, I see the strength of stature, and since then I've also been sent the family crest of both the Mason and the Bristows as well. It's just been, what we talked, what, 2 months ago? I've had about six emails back and forth from family members with everything about the history, and I'm so excited to delve more into it. But definitely we were part of the Mason Jams, and definitely, oh, I've actually had the marriage certificate. So you know how we were questioning whether or not my great-great-grandmother actually married my great-great? She did. So she got a divorce from her first husband, and that was not very happy back in the day, and she definitely did marry my great-great-great-granddad. Phew.
That's so fascinating. For me, I think I've told you this, that I'm from like Polish immigrant heritage in America, and we've lost so much of our family history because for a lot of different reasons. One, because there was just like the Polish side of the family was a pretty traumatic sort of experience. Poland, you know, went through some tough stuff over a period
of World War II and all that.
Yeah, and even before that, you know, in potato famines, like, you know, one of my great-great-grandparents, she threw herself into the river during flooding because they lost all the family crops. You know, it was like, you know, like these incredible stories you hear that are sort of family lore. And again, it's, and then you sort of go, well, you know, how much of that is, you know, what's been passed down, how much of that is exactly what happened. But also because when we moved to America, like, my grandmother's generation, like her, my great-great-grandmother didn't want my grandmother, you know, and therefore her granddaughter, my mother, to, they need to integrate into America. So we lost like our language, you know what I mean? My babci, my grandmother, my Polish grandmother spoke fluent Polish and she would speak it at home, but my mother sort of lost the language. I mean, I've completely lost the language. So yeah, just sad. but I love it. You know, it's in to go back and try to start to do it with your family as well, which is exciting.
Did our family, our history, everything brings us together in so many ways. I find as performers, we need to know this because our history is so incredibly important. It helps us build our character, don't you think?
Mm. Oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, everything about my identity. And we could talk about like our recent family history, like the history of my, you know, my relationship, my husband, our kids who are adopted parents. Like, I mean, that's like, I went to an audition the other day and it was, the story was dealing with trauma. I won't go too specifically into what it was. And so I was sort of like a trauma counselor sort of person in the audition. And the filmmaker was like, all right, well, she was like, so I just need to make sure that none of this is going to trigger you, like, you know, because it's pretty heavy, you know, sexual violence and stuff. And I was like, you know what? I'm good. I've experienced trauma, you know, in my life or in my family's history that I had to, therefore it's made me a better actor. And you know what? It was so easy for me to access that trauma in the audition the other day, which I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I mean, I guess that's part of what we do, learn what those things are, and then we learn how to live them and then use them to express ourselves, right? Yeah.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. All right. So when you
my computer's going on the fritz. Let me see if I can make sure I'm turning it on. Oh, I'm having a moment. We're good. I'm sorry. Me tell you what I'm up to like lately.
Yes, please.
So how we became connected is through our fabulous friend at That's Not Canon Productions, and also my beautiful housemate Asabi, who is more than a housemate. She is. We were talking the other day over a couple of wines and some food, and she said it so perfectly. She goes, "You're my person," and I'm like, "Oh my god, you're my person." Because she's the, without that little, I don't even know about her, some sort of Disney character then, but she is so my person. She's the one that I go to for, you know, talk about hair conditioners or talk about heart conditioners. She's like the most amazing person, and I'm so grateful for her. And we got together many years ago and we were filming for Blackwater, like 3 years ago, and then we decided we just want to do more stuff together because we've got such a great, like bouncy chemistry, and we came up with Wine and Sympathy, which is a play on tea and sympathy, and we talked to amazing people, hopefully you very soon, in Brisbane, who are creative and who inspire us, because our motto, our creed is we're all in this together, let us lift each other up, never pull each other down.
Yeah. That's awesome. And, you know, there needs to be more of it, so doesn't there? It's so funny because we can feel sometimes that we're, you know, we're in a competitive industry, actors or whatever, especially, you know, in Queensland where there's sometimes it feels like there's limited opportunities. But there's just, I just love to, yeah, celebrate the other creators that are around me. I find that so exciting. So, yeah.
I know.
What you're and doing it's with your podcast.
Ooh, yeah. I think we're just trying to, we were trying to stay sane during that whole COVID-19 ISO. And we were also just trying to find a way for us both to remain committed to our mutual passion, which is the arts. Asabi is, you know, she's so amazing. I will always say that, and I'm her 100% probably third best fan, because I think her mum and her dad are her first and second. But we want to support and reflect and the amazing talent that comes out of Queensland, and specifically Brisbane.
Yeah, great. And so that's Wine and Sympathy podcast, and you can hear that across all podcasts. And I will play.
You know, I actually had a couple of things. I got told off by my my best friend, and I got told off by my mum that I swear too much.
It's true.
I think I do have a bit of a potty mouth.
Oh, I haven't noticed, but you know, we'll put a rating on it. It's you know, G-13. And
so Matt, tell me more about you. I want to know more about you. You sit here and you interview all of us wonderful people, but you mentioned before that your husband's in Fiji. When is he going to be back?
The commercial airline isn't flying right now, so they're scheduled to come back in September, but they might sail back because we have a boat. This is actually super weird. Have you seen the film Adrift with Shailene Woodley and Sam Claflin?
Yeah. It's on Netflix at the moment.
So the boat that Sam sails in on, we actually in that boat now. Because it's left, like it was sailed, I think they sold sails it over from New Zealand or something. But anyway, it was left there after the film. Like they had like you know, they have like the boat, but then they have sort of like a boat set. And we ended up buying it because we both worked on the film as extras and I utility stand in and all that sort of business. And so, yeah, so they might sail back, but I was like, don't do an adrift on me. Like, wait until it's not, you know, a cyclone. Yeah. And we've both been dancing in the past. So like Tony Bartuccio, so we must know people in common. Did you ever dance on Australian TV and Starstruck or anything like that back in the
So when I did the Tony Bartuccio course, I wasn't 100% well-liked because all my teachers seemed to give me jobs outside of the course. I remember a story, this is true, right? All the girls were having a sleepover and I was invited, but I was also working for Mitch, our hip-hop dancer teacher, and I had three gigs with him that night. So we would dance 15 minutes in cages and in nightclubs in Melbourne, get paid a couple hundred dollars per 15 minutes. Anyway, and I was done by about 3 or 4 o'clock. So I said to my friends, and this is before mobile phones too, it was around about the time of beginning of mobile phones, but not really, but I said to them on the Friday, I'll come over, I'll push your buzzer when I finish about 3 a.m. on Saturday. If you're still awake, I'll come in. They made me wait out the front of their apartment for an hour, close to an hour. So my experience at Tony Bartuccio, even though I did well and it was a really amazing learning experience, I did a lot of stuff with Tony as well, and I did a lot of stuff with other teachers. I even traveled through England with another teacher. The experience with the girls there, I've only just recently found them all again on Facebook in the past couple of years, and it took me almost 15 years to forgive them for the bullshit they put.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. You know,
it's just, it's dancing. Didn't you get that when you were a dancer?
Yeah, well, I did chorus line. I took a chorus line when I was 25. And I mean, there were definitely, and I mean, it's interesting because we've all sort of reconnected. One of the dancers from our tour died about a year ago. And it was the first one of us, you know, because, but you know, we were all like 97, 98. And so it really hit us when one of us left this earth. So we all reconnected. And it's interesting because like the people that, that the petty G fights with, you know what I mean? Because we traveled on two buses on this tour. And so there was like, you know,
right,
bus or that bus and you on and with like fights and then they seats and you'd be on the other bus.
Yeah.
And but it's been nice to reconnect with that dance world, and you know, we all seem to like each other, which is good. But we did like each other, even though we treat each other horribly.
Well, we kinda did. If only we had our 40-year-old brains in our 20-year-old bodies. Oh my god, the world would have been amazing. But we weren't. We were so consumed with this, I don't know, petty competitiveness.
I know. But anywho, yeah. And so have you, like one of the questions I always ask is like, how did you become a storyteller? What, you know, inspired you to be a storyteller? So like, was dance into acting, was it a transition or were you acting the whole time? Or, you know, what's that?
I think every dancer is an actor because you need to interpret the story and the feeling behind every song. And most songs have lyrics. I believe every dancer is an actor. But it's not everyone that gets the chance that I did. I was incredibly blessed to have, and I still do, a pretty amazing family. When I came back from living in London and dancing all around England and London and Europe, I lived with my sister and my mum in Tooronga, whatever. And my sister found this competition on the TV Week. And she's like, oh my God, Vanessa, you're telling me to do this. And I'm like, what is it? She's like, well, it's a competition. If you enter and put your details in and do a monologue, you can win a scholarship to TAFTA, the Australian Film and Television Academy. And I went, all right, here we go. Explicit beep. Fuck it. I'll do it. So I was like, okay. So my sister helped me. We had our old VHS. We did a little bit of a chat. We did a bit of a CV. And this is before all that cool stuff. It was like 1997. And we sent it through and I got chosen. It was 5,000 people Australia-wide that got chosen. And then it got muddled down to 500 or 1,000, whatever. And then it got muddled down to 10. And then I won. And it was really cool. I remember I was actually working for the Queensland government on the Mabo decision. And I was a receptionist in Brisbane City. And the phone call came through. I was like, Vanessa, there's a phone call from you. It's Paula Duncan. And I'm like, what the fuck, really? Because, you know, I'd done the audition, I'd done the go-to, I'd done the sit-down. It had been about a three-week process, like from the initial sending off the VHS, all that sort of stuff. And I'm on reception. I've got this beautiful, my receptionist lady with me, and I'm sitting in this amazing building that was celebrating the people who Australia started off with, the Aboriginals who, you know, in my opinion, are the rightful owners of the land. And I was working for them. And I get this phone call saying that I've kind of now been accepted as an Australian because I'm now going to the Australian Acting and Film and Television Academy. I was on the phone. I'm like, hello, Paula. She's now my Facebook friend and everything. And it was just the coolest. I don't remember exactly what I said or what she said, but I know that it was the coolest conversation I've ever had. And she was just super sweet and perfect. And I met her husband, ex-husband now, but partner at the time, John Orsic. And I worked with him, and I studied with some of the most amazing teachers at TAFTA. And I also met some pretty cool people who have gone on to do super cool things.
Yeah.
TAFTA was, it was a full scholarship. And then the next year I got a partial scholarship. So I still paid to be part of the thing, but I got like an extra $3,500. So I did 2 years of TAFTA, pretty much for, you know, half price. I won two scholarships 2 years in a row, and I'm supremely grateful for them and for Paula and John who created TAFTA.
That's fantastic. That's great. You know, I was thinking about this earlier as well, because I'm working with a director right now who's a Broadway dancer. So we never worked together, but we both worked for the same choreographer, Kristen Strumman, when I did The Producers here, and he did Music Man on Broadway. And,
right.
And I was saying, you know, this comes back to like what you're talking about with acting, and you know, like nowadays, like I'm clearly not, but you know, I'm stubborn. And like back in the day, we just like go into the room and like just do our monologue or our song or our choreography, yep, and get hired. Like with not, like we had no social profile, we had no show reel. You know what I mean? Like sometimes you even bring your picture and resume. You know what I mean? You had like a card. Like a little, you know.
I remember our little comp cards, and they had our stats on the back, and you just like chuck that at people.
It's funny, it's interesting, but I think also, again, like I'm just fascinated in hearing all of your history as a performer, and I'm excited.
I can't wait to come and see you live and have a drink with you afterwards. I can't wait for Story Chunder to be live again. How do you feel about that?
Well, we start up again on the 13th, Monday.
Yep.
I'm pretty excited. I mean, you know, it's of course it's challenging because, you know, of what we're seeing happening in other states. But I was really, like, we closed down.
Hi, Janelle.
Closed down pretty quickly at the beginning of COVID because I was like really nervous. But now we're feeling pretty. I'm feeling pretty. I mean, I think that Queensland's done the right. You know, I think everything's being monitored. So I'm excited to just get back to theater, and I'm happy that it's a small event.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, we're not going into a stadium with, you know, tens of thousands of people. There'll be like 20 or 30 of us, and we can keep our distance and have a good time and then have a drink and then off into the night we go. So I'm excited. So check out the Story Chunder on July 3rd in Brisbane. If you are here, come check us out and hear some stories. The theme is favorites, and I've got some new storytellers as well as some storytellers you may have heard before. So that's exciting. Yeah.
I'm so excited. I can't wait. Asabi and I will be there.
Yeah, no, we've got Sam Liddell is going to be telling a story, who's an actor, and Cassie George, who's an actor. And I've got a couple of women from a podcast called, put me on the spot.
Oh, it's all right. The only podcast you should know is Wine and Sympathy and the Story Chamber.
Exactly. So it should be fun. Great. All right. Well, I think we're going to wrap up. Yeah, everyone check out Wine and Sympathy. And where else can Bristow, can we find you?
Oh, look, you can find me on the Five Spot, Vanessa Joy Bristow. You can even find me on Instagram, Vanessa Joy Bristow. Pretty much anywhere you want to put my Vanessa Joy Bristow into Google, you will find me. Don't look at the porn sites because it's not true.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on and doing a Tundra Chat. Play your story that you told on the program during isolation. And we look forward to seeing you live because I haven't actually met you.
Oh, my God. I can't wait to give you an elbow or a cuddle.
Exactly, exactly.
What are we allowed to do? Are we allowed to cuddle or are we, is it just the elbow?
We're still sort of a polite distance.
All right, so I'll give you an elbow.
We can nod. We can do sort of like a dance class when you sort of nod to the teacher thing.
I would love that.
All right.
All right, well, gorgeous man. Thank you so much for having me again. I appreciate it.
No worries. See ya. Take care, everyone. Thanks. This has been the Chunder Chat with Matt Young and Vanessa Joy Bristow.
Bye. Well, it's funny because like I've kind of been breaking tradition my whole life, and I was chatting with my mom and my dad and my friends trying to figure out the story that, I don't know, would be funny but also be lovely to watch and listen to. And I kind of had to go back into my history, and I want to go back to the original Bristow woman who was the trailblazer, who started it all. So this is a bit of a story from my history. Years and years ago, my dad's great-grandfather on my mother's side, sorry, his mother's side, was the lover to the heiress of the Mason Jam Company in Liverpool, England. So everybody knows Mason Jams. They're like a billion-dollar empire. I'm not worth $1 billion, but my previous family was. Anyway, she came to New Zealand and she was on board a ship, but she was confined to a wheelchair because she was very sick. The reason why she was coming to New Zealand or going to New Zealand was because she heard that the waters of Rotorua were going to heal her. Anyway, her and her nurse made friends with the carpenter on board, and his name was, well, my great-great-granddad was Bristow. Anyway, they fell in love, and the Mason family didn't really appreciate that because they were a reasonably well-off Jewish family, and they didn't really appreciate the fact that my great-great-grandmother, she was having an affair with my great-great-grandfather because she was already married to somebody in Liverpool. They sent out the husband, they sent out the brother who was actually murdered in South Africa, which is kind of epic. And this left my grandmother all alone in New Zealand with my great-grandmother all alone in New Zealand with my grandfather. They ended up never getting married because she was always still married to this other guy. They got a beautiful family. She gave up the millions of the jam business, and she gave up the chance to be their heiress for my great-great-granddad. I don't think they ever got married. They broke tradition 100% just by living together in sin. And this was like a long time ago. My dad actually lived with my great-great-grandmother until she passed away at the age of 80. And I remember stories about her, and I remember stories from my nana and also my mama talking about her and how she was so feisty and how she never let anyone get in her way and how she always said that women can do it. And I feel like she was the original trailblazer for the women of my Bristow on my father's side. And that's just my father's side, not my mother's side. And I've already got, on my mum's side, I've got like even more amazing women. And I feel like if the theme, breaking tradition, is all about just being a strong woman and owning it and knowing my worth.
Hi.
Hi, my name is Vanessa.
And I am Asabi.
And together we are
Wine and Sympathy. That's right, a brand new podcast coming to you from Brisbane, Australia.
Together we are going to talk about life, love, relationships, friendships,
everything,
issues,
and what it's like to be a fabulous 40-something in today's era.
Yeah, we've got a lot to talk about.
We have a lot to talk about.
And we've got a lot of people that we need to talk to.
Lots of people to talk to. So we will be bringing to you guests from Brisbane itself, interesting people that we think you need to know.
So check us out. We're on all the socials. Insta, the Facebook, YouTube.
Twitter.
Oh, we're everywhere.
We are everywhere. And we'll have a website coming soon. So check us out. Wine and Sympathy podcast. See ya. Soon.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.